Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hello there. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Hope my energy level is nice and high.
Nice energy.
You like that?
Yeah, very upbeat.
I'm on. I'm completely on. Firing on all 12 cylinders. Like the old style Jaguars that had 12 cylinders. No wonder the hood was so long. My number is 888-914-9149. You can get on the air right now if you call that number. And I'm looking forward to your phone calls, 888-914-9149. I guess this is something I thought about you moms when I saw this. When did I see it? Was it last night? We have a lot of grandchildren, Nancy and I. Thus far, at least, we have 28 grandchildren. And we still have another probably 5 kids who aren't married yet. One of whom just got engaged, by the way. Did you know that, Cyrus?
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So we have another wedding. I'm guessing probably about a year away. But in any case, that wedding's coming. So 28 grandchildren thus far, which I know pales in comparison to some of the large amounts of grandchildren some people have been blessed with. God bless you for that. But we only have 28 thus far. But the reason I mention this is because at Grandma and Grandpa's house, when the little people stay the night or, you know, their parents are visiting and they want the kids to go to bed, it's not uncommon for mom or dad to break out the melatonin gummies. You've probably seen these, Cyrus. Maybe you've even used them with your kids. I don't know. But it's an herbal remedy, melatonin. And I think it's maybe more of a hormone. And it promotes drowsiness. It promotes sleep. And there was a time when I was traveling a lot, and I would sometimes, I guess it was more like in my 30s, I would have bouts of insomnia. I haven't had that problem in many, many years, thank God. I really do thank God, because there's nothing worse than not being able to get to sleep at night. But I took melatonin for a time, and not in the gummy form. I don't even know that those existed at that time. But I would buy it at the grocery store, and it did help with getting drowsy and going to sleep. And then it seems like I got off that because a doctor friend of mine said that there may be some potential heart risks if you take melatonin. So I had no problems with my heart, but I didn't want to take any chances. So I switched over, as I've mentioned on the program before, a little, you know, true confessions here. I switched over to the occasional use valerian root. Which is not a hormone, it's just a root. It's ground up in a capsule, and you take it with water before you want to go to sleep, and it promotes drowsiness. It's kind of like sleepy time tea. It's that kind of a thing. No active ingredients, no drugs, no pharmaceuticals. Just Mother Nature at her best. So every so often, if I would like to make sure that I can get to sleep, I'll pop a couple of those, and that's the valerian root, which you can get at your grocery store in the vitamin section, and that works for me. So I don't need it very often, but occasionally I do use it. So the reason I'm telling you all this is because I think there are a lot of parents who use the melatonin gummies for the kids because you want your kids to go to sleep at a decent hour. So anyway, the story's out in the Atlantic about a lot of kids now are overdosing on melatonin. I didn't know you could overdose on melatonin. And this article is all about how that is actually happening. So let me give you some snippets from this article. This is in the Atlantic. Doctors around the country are observing this similar problem of kids taking too much melatonin, typically in the form of the gummies. Their findings, published last June, were striking. Over the prior 10 years, the number of annual calls to poison control for pediatric melatonin overdoses has gone up by how much percent would you guess, Cyrus, if you had to guess? Emergency calls, probably by parents, to pediatric, you know, I guess emergency rooms or whatever, because of pediatric melatonin overdoses. In 10 years, how much do you think it rose? What percentage?
25?
No. Go. Up a little higher.
Higher? 50? A little higher. 50%?
A little higher.
More than 100?
A little higher.
No.
Yeah.
All right. How many?
530%.
And this is the first we're hearing about it?
It's the first I've heard about it. Now, maybe all the moms are all over this story and they're aware of it. I don't know, but I mean, I'm not like looking for stories like this, but when I saw it, it caught my eye because Grandma and Grandpa's house has a jar of melatonin gummies. And I've seen, you know, my grandchildren's parents, my children, pop a couple gummies to them so that they can get ready for sleepy time. By 2020, Poison Control was receiving more calls about pediatric overdoses on melatonin than any other substance. That says a lot. Just last month, in a broader study based on emergency room data over a similar period, researchers at the CDC reported a 420% increase in visits for pediatric melatonin ingestions. And it goes on and on. There's a lot of interesting details here. It talks mainly about gummies, and it's looking primarily at little kids, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and what to look for. So that's the article in The Atlantic. There is another article. This is from a news outlet, 13abc.com, and they give similar information here about the rise of melatonin overdoses in children, but they also give some helpful things like what to look for. And I had that here a second ago, and now I don't have it.
I happen to be looking at that. So some of the signs of melatonin overdose. So look out for dizziness, drowsiness, headache.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh. Isn't drowsiness the point of taking
that's
those?
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Good point. Vomiting and a change in blood pressure. I don't know who's checking the blood pressure of their four-year-old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what works for me instead of giving kids whatever? A noisemaker. I have a noisemaker that is it's like a fan base, and so there's no loop. It's not a digital sound.
Okay.
And sleep.
Oh, right? Just like white noise.
Well, it's white noise. It's okay. Wonderful.
Huh.
Try it.
I have, I like white noise personally, so I can see how that would help. But in any case, they have a hotline number here, Poison Control, 800-222-1222. Easy to remember that one. And they give some examples of what to look for if your child may have this. And I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it, but mainly because I know it's a popular thing and a lot of people use the melatonin gummies. I wanted to bring it to your attention. That's the whole thing right there. Just I wanted to do my public service bit this morning, and I've done it. And Cyrus will post those so that you can check it out. Just go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kaya. And Kaya is listening in Townsend, Montana. Good morning, Kaya. Hi, Kaya. You're on the air. Maybe Kay is not ready. I guess Kay is not ready.
I don't know what's going on. I can see that she's trying to talk, and I have her up and on, but nothing's coming out. So why don't you give me a second to figure out what's going on with the phones?
We'll do that. Yeah, Kay, we're going to try to get you on the air, but for some reason I can't hear you. And I'm told that Kaya is 8 years old, so we'll get that sorted out. In the meantime, though, I have got some open phone lines. You can grab one, 888-914-9149. Here's an email that came in from James. I think he's listening on the Relevant Radio app, and he says, he has a question about purgatory. At the crucifixion, the good thief was absolutely not perfect. Jesus, knowing the good thief had committed a life of crime and evil, said to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." If the good thief, who was imperfect, obviously, can go straight to heaven, why do regularly decent, loving, faithful Catholics have to go to purgatory? Is that justice? Jesus does not lie. He is also just. The good thief lived a terrible life and asked Jesus to remember him at the last moment of his life, yet he goes directly to heaven, and most of us who are not half as bad as him don't. Please explain. Okay, I'll give you what I think the answer to this is that, of course, each of us individually has our own set of sins, and God judges us individually. And that, of course, includes how much did you know about the truth? What kind of foundation did you receive? What kind of opportunities did you have to grow in holiness? So if you take a look at The Good Thief, I mean, just try to imagine what kind of a life he led. He's also called a revolutionary, a criminal. He was being executed for crimes, and perhaps thievery was one of the crimes. But in any case, whatever it was he did, chances are he led a very wicked life. And even living in that time in that place, he probably wasn't living as an observant Jew. So the question then is, how much did he know about the Ten Commandments? Did he know them? Probably. I would think you would have to know them if you lived in that culture at that time. But how much did he know? How much of his life of crime might have been instilled in him by a criminal dad, for example? Maybe his dad was a thief, and he taught that to his son. Maybe he never darkened the door of a synagogue. Maybe he never really knew a whole lot about right and wrong. Of course, we all know in our hearts, as St. Paul says, the law of God is written on everyone's heart, so we have an innate sense of right and wrong. But the reason I go through all those steps is to say it could be that even though he had done some really bad things, maybe his guilt was mitigated because of his ignorance. Perhaps. I don't know. God takes all those things into account. So in this case, we see this outpouring of mercy, and there was no time for him to spend much time, if any, in purgatory. He went with Jesus to the underworld, to Sheol, Hades, as it's said in Greek. And he was there for a short time, at least in terms of earthly time. And then he was brought to heaven. So a couple things come to mind. Perhaps the agony that he experienced for the remaining time that he was on the cross before they broke his legs and he finally died, perhaps that agony was the equivalent of the expiation of the effects of his sins. His sins had been forgiven by Jesus, and maybe the pain that he experienced was what was necessary for him by way of penance, thus maybe avoiding purgatory. That's possible too. It could also be that the Lord just simply remitted, he just simply obliterated all of the effects due to his sins. He had been forgiven, and maybe like baptism does, if you've led a very wicked life, let's say your whole life has been just steeped in wickedness and wallowing in sin, and near the end of your life, you come to faith in Jesus, and you're sorry for your sins, and you get baptized, and then you die, guess what? You go straight to heaven, because the effect of baptism completely obliterates all those sins and, of course, all the effects of sins. It gives sanctifying grace to the soul is regenerated, etc. Condition of original sin is removed. So there's another example or another scenario where somebody could lead a very wicked life and at the very end repent, be baptized, and go straight to heaven. Now, I understand, James, that you're, as you put in your email, that your kind of reaction to that is, well, that's not fair. Well, I think Jesus addressed that issue in the parable about hiring people to go into the vineyard and work in the vineyard. And we're told, as Jesus says, that the master of the vineyard, he hires some people early in the morning, maybe 6 a.m. And he sends them in. They agree on a wage. They go in, they start working. And progressively over the course of the day, he starts hiring more people. He continues to hire more people, and they go in until the group of people who go in at the very last minute, you know, maybe only a few minutes before the whistle blows and everybody's going to be done with their shift. And so when that happens, the people who started at 6 in the morning, they're indignant because they get their pay that they agreed to, but the people who only worked a few minutes before the whistle blew, they get the same amount. And it's a natural human reaction that the first group has. I would have that reaction if I saw the guy who worked 15 minutes getting the same pay that I got, and I had worked 12 hours in the hot sun. That doesn't seem quite right. But Jesus addresses this by saying that the master says, what is it to you? You and I agreed on a wage. You got your wage. You're not out anything. And if I want to pay this guy over here as much as I paid you, even though he did very little work, isn't this my vineyard? Isn't this my money? Can't I do what I want with my money? So not to put too fine a point on it, I understand your reaction, James, about how is that fair? Well, really, in a way, it's not fair. It's not intended to be fair. God is just. He's also merciful. And he shows mercy upon whom he will show mercy. And I guess in the case of the good thief, he was at the right place at the right time, and he was sorry for his sins, and he got a big heaping helping of mercy. That's what I want, that's for sure. Well, I hope that helps. Just a few thoughts on that, James. Thanks for writing in to me. I appreciate it. So, Cyrus, do we have
Let's give it
young
a try.
Kea? Let's give it a try. Okay, so Kea in Townsend, Montana, 8 years old. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Do you have a question for me?
Yes.
Okay,
the
what is it?
Did Adam and Eve have guardian angels?
I think they did. The Bible doesn't say for sure that they did, but Jesus tells us that everybody has a guardian angel. He talks about children. He says, see these children over here? You know, don't scandalize them because their angel beholds God in heaven. So the church has always understood that everybody has a guardian angel. Some people have more than one, depending upon what they do in life. Meaning, like, if they're really important, God may give them more angels to help them. But yeah, I think we could safely say that Adam and Eve had guardian angels, even though the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that. I think we could believe that they did.
Okay.
Do you know about your guardian angel?
No.
I'll bet your mom has taught you this prayer. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here. Do you know that prayer?
Yeah.
So that's a prayer to your guardian angel. It finishes, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide, amen. So those are all the things your guardian angel does for you. He's there with you. He's praying for you. He wants to help you. So the more you ask him to help you, the more you ask him to help you stay close to Jesus and be good, you know, and do the things that your mom and dad want you to do, your guardian angel will help you and pray for you that you can do those things. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I think so, too. Well, good. Are there any other questions, Kea?
No.
All right. Now, if you're 8 years old, I always ask this question. You probably already made your first Holy Communion, right?
On the Vibration Sunday.
Did you? How wonderful. It must have been very exciting for you to make your first Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday.
It was.
That's great. Well, I'm sure your whole family is very happy for you. And do you listen to this program very much, or are you busy doing school in the mornings?
Yeah,
you're busy doing school, or yeah, you listen to the show?
Both.
Oh, I love it. Well, do thank your mom for letting you call me today, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, little lamb. So cute. 888-914-9149. That would be the perfect time to take a break, and then we'll come right back to phone calls. Here's the number, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. That call just now is a good reminder. Don't forget, if you ever think, you know, there's some sin that you can commit because nobody's there, nobody will see you, guess again, because your guardian angel is right there. He sees everything. Everything. Of course, God does too. But your guardian angel is right there. And it's an incentive to virtue, if you ask me, because you're never really alone. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? Our sponsor, Creative Planning, has options. More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. The number is 888-914-9149. I have a note here from Richard. It says, at every Catholic church I attend, and he's listening in, I guess he's in Texas. At every Catholic church I attend in Texas, California, Arizona, Virginia, lots of people hold hands during the Our Father and have been doing this for over 40 years. Now we have a young pastor in his 30s who gets upset when we hold hands and makes a big deal of don't hold hands. It's a Protestant thing. To me, it's a family thing. And is it wrong to continue doing it? Well, I appreciate the question, Richard. Let me put it this way. Holding hands during the Our Father didn't exist prior to Vatican II. It didn't even exist at the time of Vatican II. In fact, I don't recall ever seeing it until maybe the mid-1970s. And before that, you would never have seen it because it wasn't part of the traditional piety in the Catholic Church. You wouldn't have seen it in the Eastern churches. You wouldn't have seen it in the Latin Rite Church. It arose, I think, primarily in the late 1970s and into the 80s. And it is a gesture that I can understand why people maybe want to do it. I think most people who hold hands during the Our Father, they probably do it because they've seen other people do it. And that looks nice. Oh, hold hands during the Our Father. And so they just do it without really giving it much thought. But it really is, in my view, and this has actually been asked of like the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Sacraments, is this okay? And the response has been negative. No, this is not something that should be done. It's not a gesture that is, you know, part of the church's liturgical tradition. I know there are people who really like it, but I would definitely side with the young pastor in his 30s who's trying to discourage people from doing it. And there are a couple of reasons why. I don't know what his reasons are. My reasons are, number one, you're praying the Our Father, and you'll notice that Jesus didn't say, when his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, well, when you pray, pray like this and be sure to hold hands. He just says, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven. Now, holding hands in our culture is primarily a romantic gesture. Now, it doesn't mean it can't be family-oriented. It can. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, holding hands as a family, but it's not typical. You don't really see most families walking around holding hands. You do see people who are in love with each other holding hands. So one of the reasons why I think it's not appropriate at Mass is because it's not intended to be, hey, let's all gather around as a family and hold hands. And the point is to address Our Father. The other thing is holding hands, because of the reason I just mentioned, can be very awkward and very distracting if you have to hold hands with somebody that you don't know. I don't want to hold your hand, Richard. I really don't. You're a nice guy, I'm sure. I'd love to have a purpose-driven cup of coffee with you sometime, but I'm not at all interested in holding your hand.
Don't take it personal, Richard. He won't hold my hand either.
I won't. I just won't. Cyrus has tried many times. I won't do it. I think he's gotten the hint. I'm not interested in holding. I mean, I'd like to hold my wife's hand, but even I don't hold hands with her during the Our Father. So I'm not interested in holding your hand. I'm definitely not interested in holding your lovely wife's hand. And that's a reason, another reason, practically speaking, is that what if the person next to you is a woman and you're a man, or vice versa? You're a woman and the person next to you is a man. Holding hands with strangers, especially of the opposite sex, is kind of distracting. Now, you know, if it's an elderly woman, perhaps that may not be so distracting, but it just is. It's just distracting. And I think it takes the focus off of where the focus should be, namely God. Well, I do like that song. But he's talking to a girl. He's not at Mass.
Good point.
The Beatles are not.
Solid point.
That's my theological comeback. It is a good song, though. I'm trying to think of the German title for that. Komm, gib mir deine Hand, I think is how they say it in German. They have a German version of that. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. So, yeah, I think that's another reason for not holding hands during the Our Father in terms of the practicality. Now, I have a theory, and I've wondered for a long time if this may be part of it. Back in the day, Richard, and I don't know how old you are, but maybe when if you're my age, you saw the TV show The Waltons. And The Waltons featured this wonderful family, Depression-era Virginia, you know, not dirt poor, but they weren't well-to-do, that's for sure. And one of the things about The Waltons is whenever they would gather at their big table in the kitchen to have their meals, they would hold hands when they would say grace. That series began running in what? Was it 72, I think? 72, 73, something like that? Right around there. And it was a big hit. I mean, it was like appointment television. And on, I think it was Thursday nights, you know, everybody would stop what they were doing at 8 o'clock and watch The Waltons. All right. Thank you. All right. I get it. Cyrus is just having fun. Don't mind him. He means no harm. And I've wondered ever since, I wonder, could that be the genesis of so many people starting to hold hands because they saw it on The Waltons? The Waltons sit down to eat, they hold hands, they pray. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But I do think that your pastor is right to discourage it for the reasons I just mentioned. I'm sure that other people have other reasons. And if I thought about it long enough, I too could probably come up with a few other reasons. But we're there to worship God. You know, we acknowledge the body of Christ in our midst. That's all part of it. But even like something like the sign of peace, it can become exaggerated and it can become a distraction. It's an important part of the Mass and it needs to be there, but people can take it too far. And I think that's what happened here, where it just became trendy to hold hands during the Our Father, but I think it's beginning to die out. So I see what's happening here. I like it though. You're using the metaphors of music, Cyrus. Well done. It's not that I have to police, you know, people's gestures during Mass or anything like that, you know. I don't have to police anybody. But thanks for the email, Richard. I think we've ridden that wave far enough. Try to think of something else to say, but I can't. So let's go to the phones. Liz in Estero, Florida, welcome.
Hi. Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. You know, I found the article interesting about melatonin and felt compelled to call in. I'm a nurse, not a doctor. But I have been recently doing a lot of reading about, like, more natural approaches to things. And melatonin, when taken consistently for a long time, because it's a synthetic, your body can actually become dependent upon it because your body, you know, it's a hormone. And so your body says, oh, I don't have to produce this. So I just kind of felt compelled to call in and share if you do take it. Oops, sorry, my 9-month-old. You know, just take it sparingly, you know, here or there.
I don't take it.
Yeah.
But for those who, you're talking about for the moms and their kids or just people who use it?
Yeah, or for, you know, like especially kids because they're growing and you want their bodies to be able to develop, you know, the necessary hormones they need on their own.
Right.
You know, and not to, listen, I'm no perfect parent here, but not, you know, so not to, you know.
Oh, I bet you're a great parent.
But
I bet you are.
Well.
Well, that's good advice. So, and this is one of the takeaways I got from that article is that I previously had thought it was an herbal remedy, and it's not. It's a hormone. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yes, I've been doing nursing for quite some time, and I'm learning a lot as far as what really is sort of not really natural, I guess, what's more of a synthetic versus, a natural.
So, as long as I've got a nurse on the line here, I have recommended to friends and others valerian root, which is really just a root, and you grind it up and put it in a capsule. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because for me, that seems like a good alternative if somebody needs some help getting drowsy.
Yes, that one is because it's in, and not to, yes, it is, because it's the natural part of what's in Valium without all the other stuff. So exactly.
Oh, I didn't know.
A natural.
I didn't know there was a connection with Valium. Really, Valium is in some way derived from valerian root? Interesting.
Yeah. But it doesn't have, you know, any of the other synthetics and things that, you know, Valium has. So yes, it's just the root of valerian, so it's all natural. Kind of like bromelain. Bromelain is the root of a pineapple and has some really good natural, helps with congestion and digestion and things like that. But yes, so valerian root is good. And then I do what Cyrus does. We have the noise reducers or noise makers, and our kids respond really well to that. So
I do too. Yeah. I like the white noise. I like just something that you can just sort of, you know, kind of turn your brain off too.
You've got some great ideas, Cyrus.
Which, side note, you guys are great. I love your show. I'm super busy all the time. Love to read, but don't have time. So this way I can actually, you know, listening to you guys, I'm always learning a ton, laughing a lot. So.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm happy to hear that. And thanks for the insights from the perspective of being a nurse. Thank you, Liz. Appreciate that. I love our listeners. I really do. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Carlos in Arizona. Hi, Carlos.
Patrick, how are you doing?
I am well, sir. Thank you. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Two quick questions. I have elderly parents. Their wish is to have all their kids, I'm the oldest of six, be married to the church.
Okay.
I'm the only one.
Yes,
actually, there's two of us that are married to the church, and the other four are not.
I see. Okay.
So my question is, one of my siblings that's actually just married to the civil court, is there any way that they can have their marriage blessed for being a Catholic but not the husband?
Let me take a step back here. I want to make sure I understand. So you were saying that of your siblings, you and another one of them are married in the church, but these other siblings are married but not in the church. Were you all raised Catholic?
Yes, we were all raised Catholic.
So he had received his sacraments. He was baptized, confirmed, made his first Holy Communion?
Yes, that would be my sister.
Okay, your sister. Okay, so she's Catholic. Does she still practice the faith?
To be honest, I don't know. She lives up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. We really don't keep in contact, but...
Okay, so she may or may not.
I'm going to say no, yes.
Okay, but she either has gotten married outside the church, or she wants to get married, or she's married now and she's asking or thinking about getting her marriage regularized and, as they say, blessed in the eyes of the church. Is that the question?
Well, actually, no, because I don't... They got married just to get married, and I want to push her to get married to the church, because that's my dad just turned 80 years old, and that's always been his, you know, dream to have all of his kids married to the church. So I feel that the obligation as an older brother to try to, you know, instill that in them, telling them, you know, your parents are, you know, a lot older, and that's something, a dream of them.
Yeah, sure. That's laudable. God bless your parents. So, I mean, the next step would be to relay that wish to her. Has your father communicated that to her? I'm guessing he probably has.
They have, but it's always, well, if you're going to talk about marriage, I'd just rather not, you know, conversation.
Okay, so she's resistant for whatever reason. Couldn't care less, lazy. Who knows? Maybe there's some other reason. So I'm not sure what the dilemma is for you. What question? I mean, if she's aware that she should be married in the church or have the marriage that she's in now regularized, and your father has told her this, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just missing the point here. So what is it you're asking me, Carlos?
I guess I should push the issue myself. I don't know. It's just a dilemma. I don't want to offend her, but I guess I'm going to have to.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, your best intentions to tell the truth and to be loving can also come across to some people as, you know, hurtful or judgmental or something, even when you don't intend to be. I think it's a good idea for you as her brother to make an effort. I wouldn't nag her about it, you know, just if she knows, it's already in her conscience. She knows that she should do this at some level and whatever is preventing her from doing it. But a little kind word from you, a little encouragement from you, I think would be a good thing. And then entrust it to God, pray for her. If she asks you, well, let's talk about that, then you have an opportunity to share more. But I don't think it would hurt at all. In fact, I think it would be a good thing to give her some gentle encouragement. But I would suggest, typically in these matters, it's always best not to push somebody because they can dig their feet in even more.
Yeah, that's the issue with my younger brother. He's not even married. He has two beautiful little girls. They haven't done, well, they've been baptized, but that's about it. And yeah. My father, when he brings up that conversation, it's something that he just frowns upon, and he'd rather just not talk about it. And he just,
yeah,
you know.
I understand. I do understand. Every family has got some fault lines, that's for sure. So do your best. Be gentle, be tactful, be encouraging, and then just pray for her. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back. Our sponsor, Christendom College, offers our listeners access to free online classes at getprinciples.com/truth. Acclaimed philosopher Dr. John Cutteback is teaching a class now, Understanding Human Nature, at getprinciples.com/truth.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, welcome back. I hope you're enjoying that Beatle vibe today. 888-914-9149. Let's get over to Tennessee now and talk to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi
there. Uh-oh.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Thank you.
Sounds like you're in a wind tunnel right now, Jessica.
Hold on. I'll turn it off. There.
Okay.
So I'm driving right now, and they told me to turn off the radio. Anyway, yeah,
definitely
I just wanted
turn
to
off
say I'm on my way to a widow's gathering, and I've been widowed for 3 years now, and so I just chanced upon your station like 20 minutes ago, and you're talking about talking to the child about guardian angels, and then you said the prayer, and it just occurred to me that my husband always prayed that prayer. We always prayed it at night, and it was just a wonderful reminder that he was with me now, or he's with me now,
nice.
And he's, giving me reassurance that I'm going to be okay this weekend.
Oh, that's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, thank you. I just wanted to say, wow.
Well, one thing for sure, Jessica, there are no coincidences when it comes to God. And you're hearing that message. And you say you just now found Relevant Radio. You hadn't known about this program before.
Yes. No, I don't know if I'd get it in Kentucky because I'm just driving through Tennessee right now and I'm flipping through stations. So
I'm so happy
now
to hear this.
Thank you.
Now, this is not a coincidence. I call these God incidences, because God's providence had you listen at that time, at that place, for that reason.
Yes, exactly, yes. I usually say providential, too. It was providential. Some people call it God's winks.
Yeah.
Yep. So it is so nice to hear the prayer. And I'm still...
Let's pray together, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's all pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. Amen.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I can just picture your guardian angel smiling at you right now.
Thank you.
How far do you have to drive to get to the widow's retreat, Jessica?
It's almost, it's Memphis. It's in Memphis, so I should be there soon.
Okay. Well, drive safe and do me a favor. If you, you know, if you like what you heard thus far, Jessica, we have 24/7 programming that I think you'll really like. You can get the Relevant Radio app on your phone because sooner or later when you drive far enough. Oh, yeah. It's great. And there's no static. If sooner or later, if you drive far enough, you'll leave that signal area. But you'll never have to worry because if you put the Relevant Radio app on your phone, no matter where you are, you can hear the programming any time of the day or night. It's free, by the way. It's a free app. You'll love it.
Okay. Thank you. And where is this based, actually?
We are headquartered in Chicago. So the network is headquartered in Chicago. And we have 200, at the moment at least, we have 206, I believe it is, stations all around the country from Hawaii to Maine.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have something I heard recently that our Relevant Radio app has been downloaded something like 1.5 million times now, and it just keeps climbing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Well, you found us and we found you.
I will.
I feel like today's a great day.
It is. It absolutely is. And then you you played hold my hand, and then usually my husband and I hold hands when he's driving. So I was like, okay.
May he rest in peace.
Yes.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Well, I can hear the smile in your voice,
call.
Jessica. Oh, you're welcome. Call again. And
yes, thank
and
you so
stay
much.
In touch with us. Get the Relevant Radio app, and we'll be able to stay in touch.
I will as soon as I stop.
Yeah, don't do it while you're driving.
So we'll drive when safe. I get to my destination, I will. Thank
tell
you.
Tell all the ladies about it. Tell all the ladies at the retreat about
Relevant
Radio.
Yes, I will.
All right. Drive safe, Jessica. God bless you. Oh, Cyrus, are we, you know, the most fortunate guys in the world or not? To be able to do this show and talk to people like Jessica.
I love it. I love sharing with my wife these stories. This happens all the time. I just happened to stumble on your station. You're talking about something that is so personal to me. It's like you're talking to me. As I'm driving around and Patrick Madrid is talking to me. It's amazing. Happens all the time.
I know. Yeah, well, I concur as well. It's just beautiful to see what God does through Relevant Radio. I don't know how else to put it. So, God bless Jessica. I understand.
You know what's cool, too? I love that you prayed with her. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
But what Jessica, I hope you're still listening. Patrick's not the only one that prayed for you. People all over the country just prayed at the same time for you.
Right.
And for your husband. This is powerful.
Yes, it is. Hey, shifting gears for a minute. So Gabby informed me that a listener called in. By the way, when you call 888-914-9149, that is not a message line. That's not for you to leave a message for me, or it's for people who want to go on the air. And we have such a volume of people calling that number. So in your kindness, I would ask you, don't call that number to leave me a message. Because that's not what the call screener is there to do. If you want to call and be on the air, that's different. You can call and be on the air. But please don't call to leave a message. The way to do that is to go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, click on connect, and email me. My email address is patrick@relevantradio.com. So just, it clogs up the system when you call 888-914-9149. So please don't do that. Now, someone did do that. So I'm just going to deal with this question here. A listener says she's worried about me. The Atlantic Magazine is a very left-leaning, almost communist politically. She doesn't want people to think that I read it. It is, I think, harmful what you say. I think that's based on the note that I got. Well, okay, whoever the person is who's concerned about it, I don't read The Atlantic in any regular sense. I don't subscribe to it, but I certainly do pay attention to it if there's something in there of value. Remember what the Bible says. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So I will quote from CNN, even though a lot of what's on CNN I certainly don't agree with. I'll quote from all kinds of different sources because I have to keep my eyes out for all kinds of different news items and things. So don't be alarmed, ma'am. Don't be alarmed. You don't have to worry about me. I have to look at a wide variety of things to bring you the best in Catholic radio programming. So no need to be concerned. And I don't think that just because I reference an article about melatonin in the very left-wing Atlantic that anybody's going to lose their mind or lose their soul or go to hell or anything like that. So please be at peace. This is not really an issue for concern. But just so you know, no, I'm not a regular consumer of the Atlantic because it is, as you say, very left-leaning. Thank you for your concern, though. 888-914-9149. How about Flo now in New Jersey? Good morning, Flo.
Hi, Patrick. Can you hear me? Because I just came off a speaker.
No problem.
Okay.
Welcome.
All right. My question is, and I don't have a good memory, so I don't know who it was that's 800 years old in the Bible. But I have a friend whose daughter-in-law said, how can you listen to all that or believe all that if somebody's 800 years old? So that's my question. Okay. How do you answer something like that? Because the person that told me is growing in her faith now. She lost her husband, and she became closer to the church. So her daughter-in-law is, all right, so I need an answer for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. This is a good question. It's a worthy question. How do you explain what it says in passages like Genesis chapter 5? It says in verse 4, the days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Adam lived, that Adam lived, were 930 years, and he died. And it doesn't just talk about Adam. Seth lived after the birth of Enosh 800 years and 7 years. And it says that Seth lived for 912 years, and then he died. Enosh lived, his son, lived 90 years when he became the father of Kenan. Enosh lived after the birth of Kenan 815 years. So, and it just goes on and on from there. There's a long list of people. Jared, 962 years. Enoch, 65 years, became the father of Methuselah. And Methuselah, he lived for, he was 187 years when he became the father of Lamech. And then after the birth of Lamech, he lived another 782 years. So he we're told was 969 years old. I believe that's the oldest living person in the Bible. So the first thing is to say it's entirely possible that this is accurate. Now it could be, some people think it is, but just large numbers to give a sense of it was a very old age. But clearly two things to remember is they kept very strong oral traditions, and they handed these things down. But also don't forget that Moses was inspired by God when he wrote the first five books of the Bible. Now, there were other editors who added things and such, but the essence of the first five books of the Bible, including Genesis, were written by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So even if those numbers are not intended by the Holy Spirit to be exact, in other words, it's not necessarily literally 986 years old, they certainly lived a lot longer than people do now. And there's a reason for that. And by the way, it could be that those are actual numbers. They're genuine numbers. And people might say, that's impossible. There's no way anybody could live that long. Well, it would not have been impossible then for this reason. And here's my rationale for this, Flo. I don't know whether those numbers are figurative or they're literal, but either way, I'm sure that they lived a lot longer than human beings do now because there was no time yet that had elapsed in which the pathologies in the human biosphere, or whatever the proper term would be, had time to develop. So the things that tend to kill people off nowadays, heart attacks, strokes, cancer, etc., the human race in those days was so close to perfection. Because remember, Adam and Eve, they were physically perfect in the garden. Death, sickness couldn't touch them. Now, they lost their immunity from death and sickness when they fell in the garden, and when they were expelled, they had the closest thing to perfect human physiology that anyone ever has had, which is one reason, by the way, that that their children intermarried because they could, because there was no danger of birth defects or mental retardation or any of the other things that typically attend to close relatives intermarrying. It's a taboo, and rightly so, because of all the dangers physiologically and mentally speaking. They didn't have that problem then. So the brothers and sisters intermarried, and soon enough, then it was cousins that were intermarrying. And before too long, they had enough people that they didn't have to closely intermarry, but they could do it because their physiology was nearly pristine. So it is possible that they could have lived for hundreds of years. They didn't have to deal with strokes and heart attacks and things like that. Plus, they didn't have processed food. And I'm pretty sure people didn't die suddenly because they were taking pharmaceuticals that might have been bad for them. So yeah, that would be how I would approach it with her. It's entirely plausible whether or not it's a figurative number or a literal number. So there's my take on it.
I had told her, I said, well, they didn't have a calendar yet. Who says that that was 100% right, you know, on the days or whatever. But now I know I can tell her about the purity, which is much better than my answer.
Oh, well, you did your part. You know, and you know what's nice, Flo, is about an hour after the program is over, so we end at noon Eastern time, the whole show will be loaded up on the relevantradio.com website. Actually, you want to go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, and you can grab the link to this first hour and send it to your friend, and maybe if you want, she could just listen to what I had to say. That might help.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love listening to you and Cyrus.
Thank you, Flo. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, I'm coming right back. So is Cyrus. We're a package deal, and we're coming right back right after this, so please stay right there.